Genesis 25 and verse 32. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Well, friends, we're looking this evening at this account between Jacob and Esau. I'm sure very familiar to you. And my subject is bargaining with the soul. Bargaining with the soul. We don't want to do that. We don't want to take such a risk. I have to say right at the beginning, this is the most valuable thing you have, is your soul. And you don't want to be playing around with it and treating it lightly. But sadly, that's exactly what Esau did in this passage. He treated the things of God and his soul and eternal verities and truths really in a very light-hearted way and manner. That's how he looked on it. "What profit shall this birthright do to me?" he said to his brother Jacob. Well, it's a common question, really, that people ask even today, isn't it? What profit is there in such and such a thing for me? What's in it for me? What benefit is there in a product or in a theory or an idea? What benefit is there in such a thing for me? How will this product or this theory or this idea improve my life? What difference will it make to my life? What changes will it make to my life? I want something that will enhance my life. I want something that will profit me. I don't want to lose out. I don't want to spend my time on something that's going to be a waste of time. I want something that is going to improve the quality of my life. And some such idea or some such product, well, I'm quite willing to adopt it. I'm quite willing to buy it. I'll take it on board. But if it's of no value to me, dispense with it. It's a waste of time. Why give myself to it? Throw it away. Get rid of it. It's useless to me. It's of no profit to me. That's the kind of age that we are living in today, isn't it? Where most people think in this kind of pragmatic way. I only take on board what works. I only take on board what's profitable for me. But the trouble is, friends, we don't always know what's good for us. The trouble is that we are error-prone as human beings. Despite what we may think about ourselves, we are always making mistakes, or often making mistakes in our choices, in our decision-making, in the things we do in life. Life is always, our own personal experiences are always telling us we are error-prone. And the evidence of that we are error-prone can be seen sometimes when we look back over our lives and we see, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have gone down that particular way. If I had known better, I would have gone a different route. Well, Esau also was a pragmatist. "What profit," he says, "shall this birthright do to me?" That's how he looked on that birthright. "What advantage is it to me to have that birthright?" he says. He could see no value in it. He could see no benefit and personal benefit coming to him or to his family through having the birthright. So away with it. He dispenses with it. In a whim, in a moment of time, without really even stopping to think about what he was doing, he gets rid of it. And he says no to it. He throws away the most precious thing that he had. That's the sad thing as well. He didn't realize what he had was such a precious thing. It's like some of these people, isn't it? You hear about it sometimes in the newspapers. They have a nice piece of artwork and they find in the attic and they just sell it to the second-hand shop and it's worth millions of pounds or thousands of pounds. And it's too late. They sold it to the second-hand place. And the second-hand shop will profit, or whoever bought it will profit and realizes, oh, it was a masterpiece. People do that with their souls. Esau was doing that here. He didn't realize what he was giving away was so very, very precious, even that his own spiritual blessing. Why did he do that? Why did Esau do that? Well, it's no use to me, he said, in this present world. The spiritual blessing, that's for a future time. That's a long way down in the distance. I don't have the time to wait for that. I want something for the here and now. I want something that's going to benefit and change my life today as I'm living in this world. Well, how wrong he was. Because spiritual blessing has blessing for the future, yes. For eternity, yes. But also for here and now, as Paul tells us in his letter to Timothy. Esau and Jacob here, friends, you know, they are brothers, they're twins, separated in birth by a matter of just minutes. Esau grew up to be a hunter, very cunning hunter, and he was much loved by his father. Mom, on the other hand, had a bias for the younger, for Jacob, a quiet boy, a homely boy, not want to go out hunting, preferring the domestic life, and he was certainly mummy's boy. Dad preferred Esau, and mum preferred Jacob. But they made their judgments, even as mum and dad, based only really on the outward dispositions of these two young men. They saw what they were like outwardly. One was a hunter, and the father ate of his kill, the venison that came in, and that's why maybe he had a preference for Isaac. And the other one preferred to see Jacob at home and feels for him and is akin to her, and so she likes him. They can see the outward dispositions of these two, and so they are drawn to their various sons. But God is different. God doesn't judge us by the outside disposition and by our outside activities, what we do and what vocation we have. He judges us by what we are in our hearts. He judges us by our inward disposition. This is what this incident is really showing us, primarily it is showing to us the inward disposition of these two brothers. That one of them was an earthly-minded person, but the other was a spiritually-minded person. Through a somewhat trivial, you could even say coincidental occurrence here, where Jacob was cooking that broth of lentils, he wasn't deliberate. He didn't cunningly prepare such a scenario to trap his brother. No, it didn't work like that, though some people say it. It happened in the course of providence. It happened as he was going along. And so often we find that the little things in life, they will reveal to us the true disposition of our hearts, of our lives. The things that happen to us in life reveal to us where we really stand before God. Esau is seen through this incident to be a despiser of spiritual blessing. To be a despiser, to think nothing, little of being in a right relationship with God and in contact with God, and of having favor from Him. Little of these things he thinks. Whereas the disposition of Jacob, he had his faults, no doubt about it, but the inward, sincere wish of his heart was to know God's blessing and to know His favor. He valued that birthright. He valued that spiritual blessing. He valued God's blessing on his life. That was a treasure to him. Well, where are my friends? Where are you? Who are you like? Am I an Esau or am I a Jacob? What's my inward disposition? Is it for the Lord or is it just for earthly things? Am I spiritually minded or am I just earthly minded? The choices you make in life, well, they will show to you, they will reveal to you where you truly are, what you truly are inwardly disposed to. If you're only thinking about this world, if you're only thinking about a better life here, if you say, oh, don't talk to me about the gospel, I haven't got time for the gospel, I haven't got time for God, that's going to just ruin my life. Don't tell me about these things. Well, you're showing yourself to be a person who has no disposition towards God. You're showing yourself to be an Esau. But if you're a person who says, well, I want to know the Lord. I take the Bible seriously. I want to hear the gospel. I want to be saved. I want to be in a right relationship with God. I feel my need. I need God's blessing in my life. Well, friends, you're showing yourself to be of the character of Jacob. Well, one day, we go back to the beginning in verse 29. One day when Jacob was cooking this pottage, this stew at home, and in bursts Esau, we read, coming in from the field where he's been hunting, and he's faint, and he's exhausted, and he's famished, as you can imagine. And he says to Jacob in verse 30, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. In the actual Hebrew, it's something along the lines like this. Give me to eat, I pray thee, of the red. He doesn't even mention the word pottage, really. He's so desperate, he's so impatient to get his hands on the dish that he doesn't even mention the name of the dish. He just says, the red. The broth of lentils was and grains probably included in that dish was of a reddish and brownish color, and that's why it has this name, red pottage. It smelled good, no doubt. The aroma filled the room. It looked good. It was attractive to Esau. And Esau, in his impatience and desperation, is desperate to get his hands on it. He describes only the outward appearance of what he sees. And so we are told that's why his name was called Edom, red. In verse 31, he says to Jacob, sell me this day your birthright. Sell it to me. Let's do an exchange. Jacob says, I'll give you the stew. You give me your birthright. Now, the birthright, what is it? What is it, friends, that Jacob so desperately wants? Well, the ordinary birthright at that time was actually reserved for the elder son. And it was common for the elder son when the father passed away, the birthright entitled him to become the head of the whole family. And he would rule that family. And a double portion of the inheritance would be given to him as the eldest son, as the one who had the birthright. That was the ordinary course of things with families at that particular time. But that's not really what's in mind here. That's not really the issue here, because this particular family is not any ordinary family. This is a special family. This is Abraham's family. This is the family with God's blessing, with a covenant given to it. And this is the family from whom the Messiah was going to come. God had told Abraham that this is his blessing, that from his line, the Messiah, the Lord, the Christ will come, the one who will come somewhere down the line, and he would come to make an atonement for the sins of all who trust in him. This was the blessing that was in mind, that Christ would one day come. They didn't know exactly at that particular time how he would come and what he would do. It was gradually revealed more and more down through the history of time until it came in that clearest of all light when Christ actually came from heaven. The Son of God came from heaven, took to himself human flesh, and there on the cross, he went all the way to the cross to bear the punishment of our sins, so that we could be forgiven. This was the blessing that was promised to Abraham, and it would be passed on down the line. It was a spiritual blessing, and that's what's intended here, that particular spiritual blessing. Esau, as we see from this account, well, he was a worldly man. He was concerned only about the things of time. If you told to him, you're going to lose, if Jacob had said to him, give me your the inheritance, and it meant you're going to have to lose your double portion, or you're going to have to lose your authority as the head. He wouldn't have done that. Because, no, that's of profit to me. That's of use to me. I want that, he would have said. But the spiritual blessing, that's so far down the line. What good is that going to do to me? He says here in verse 32, behold, I'm at the point to die. He's not just saying, I'm so famished, I'm hungry to death. As we say in Chinese, Ursula, I'm at the point to die. That's not what he has in mind. But he's saying, well, I'm going to die anyway a long time before that promise is fulfilled. I don't have the time to wait for that. That's not going to be any personal profit to me here in this life. I'm going to die a long time before then. That's something distant. That's something in the future. He wasn't prepared to receive the blessing because of that. And that's why he treated it as such a little thing. If it was all those earthly things, he wouldn't have sold it. Friends, we have a spiritual birthright. We were made to possess spiritual blessing. God, the Bible tells us, made us for himself. God made us for a relationship with him. He didn't make us just to inhabit this world, and then just to leave us to ourselves so that we just go about thinking only about how to make a nicer home and how to make more money and how to make ourselves more comfortable in this life and then just live comfortably right until the very end and then just die. That's not the purpose of life. Just to live a very mundane kind of life, as long as we're comfortable, that's all that matters. Oh, we have a nice house and we have nice possessions and we have the more cons in life. Is that what God made us for? God made us for something higher. God made us for a relationship with him. That's why he has given us a soul. If he meant us to live like that just for the things of time, well, he would have made us like the animals. But he has made us higher than the animals. He has given us abilities that the animals just don't have. To reason and to think and to relate to God and to love in such a way, to communicate with one another and so many other things. We are so much higher than the animals. And that's for a purpose, so that we can know God and we can be in contact with him, that we can connect with him, that we can relate to him, that we can know him, that we may know his love and love him in response. We may know his goodness. We may know his blessing, his salvation. Oh, he's a great God. He's a wonderful God that he has done these things for us. This is your birthright as a human being. Animals, as I said, don't have that right. You have that right. We lost it in the Garden of Eden when we sinned, but Christ came to restore it. Christ came to give it back again into your hands, to revive your soul, to give you that birthright so that you are, as a human being now, this is my right. I have a right to speak to God. I have a right to be in a right relationship with him. This is, friends, what Christ came to do. This is your birthright as a human being. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? Will you throw it away like Esau threw away this birthright, his birthright? Will you say of this salvation that Christ offers to us, it's of no profit to me. It means nothing to me. It's of no use to me now. I cannot wait for the future. I want something for the here and now. Heaven is a distant thing that's far away from me. I want something for this life. I just want a better life in this world. I want more comforts. I want more possessions. I want more things. Oh, friends, worldly things have a very short lifespan. They have an expiry date on them. Worldly things, we can say, they only give a temporary pleasure. Their appeal lasts only for a very short time. Just like this bowl of lentils. Esau ate it.
ate it to his heart's content. Yes, he enjoyed it, but he enjoyed it only for a moment. 5 minutes, 10 minutes was his enjoyment period. And then a few hours later or the very next day, he's hungry again. He wants to eat again. The desire has gone, in the sense, the appeal of that bowl of lentils has gone. So friends, our enjoyment of the things of this world, well, they last only a very short time. We are sometimes adults like little children. I want this toy. And when you get that toy, 5 minutes later after getting that toy, I want that toy. We don't have the world does these things, the world's things, joys are like this. Don't throw away your soul, friends, in exchange for only an earthly life. Don't be like Esau. Threw it all away at a moment, at a whiff. He should have known better. In verse 33, Jacob said to him, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Well, that should have shook him. When Jacob said, "Swear to me," he said, "Why is he making me swear? What's he asking me to do? This must be something very important." It should have knocked his conscience. It should have disturbed his conscience. And so also in life, often our conscience will come to us to remind us, don't go that way. Don't set your heart entirely on this world, which is under God's judgment. Turn to the Lord. But so often we ignore our conscience. So often we bypass, we suppress it. We say, we don't want to hear that voice because we're so intent on pleasing, finding pleasure in some temporary earthly thing. Follow rather Jacob's example here. Look, he coveted that spiritual blessing. It was contact with God that he wanted, friendship with God, knowing the Lord's help in his life. That's what he wanted. These spiritual blessings, well, they are the opposite to the world's blessings. Spiritual blessings are long-lasting. They're permanent blessings. Once God gives them to you, he doesn't take them back. It's a permanent blessing, and it's a blessing that only, as you say, improves over time. It's like wine. The longer you leave it, the better it gets, the better it tastes. And when you come to the Lord, well, your relationship with him just gets better and better as you go along. And those of you who walked with the Lord a long time, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, friends, this is the beginning of spiritual blessings. And what will it be like in heaven? What will it be like when we get to glory? Oh, friends, this is what we should desire. This is what God offers to us, to know him, to have this blessing of salvation. Ask the Lord, if you haven't done so, ask him tonight to save you. Ask him to visit you. Ask him to revive your soul. You can say to him, "Oh God, I believe in you. Oh Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent into this world. I trust in him who died upon that cruel cross to take away my sin. Lord, forgive me. Lord, give me a new heart. Lord, change me, make me one of your own." He will hear such a prayer, friends. The Lord is good. Look, finally, at verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So lightly. How wonderfully the text puts it for us. Once he got the bread and the bowl of lentils, he ate, he drank, and then he rose up and he went his way. He didn't even stop to think. Even after he had eaten and finished that bowl of lentils, he didn't even stop to think, "What have I done? What have I done?" There's no regret. There's no sorrow in his heart to say, what's happened? How foolish have I been that for a bowl of lentils I have
exchanged my birthright. I've sold my birthright. I've given it over. His pleasure is over. His pleasure is gone. Soon, very soon, he'll be hungry again. But he is unaware of what he has thrown away. It hasn't even entered into his mind that he has lost the best thing that he ever had. So it is, friends, with those who throw away the gospel and who throw away their soul, as it were, for the world, who reject the Lord, who despise those offers of mercy that have come to them again and again through the preaching of the word and the invitations of the Lord Jesus to come to him, and he will give you rest. Again, he has called us. The invitations, the offers of forgiveness, the offers of mercy are extended to us. The offers of heaven are extended to us. God is a pardoning God, willing to pardon, willing to forgive, more than you are willing to be forgiven yourself. So come to him is the call. But if you throw it away, well, friends, do you know what you're throwing away? You're throwing away your soul. You're throwing away an eternal happiness. You're throwing away a contact with the living God. You'll only find out, you will find out one day, on the day of judgment. The day of judgment will reveal all these things, and then we'll realize, and then we will regret, I should have come to God. I should have taken seriously those things. I should have listened to what those invitations. I should have come while I had the chance, but it's too late. The opportunity has gone. Oh, friends, come to the Savior. Repent of your sins. Come and trust in him. He will save you. Come and yield your lives to him once and for all. Tell him that you are his and ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. Let's pray together. Oh God, help us, we pray, as naturally we are so foolish and so earthly inclined and so error-prone when it comes to spiritual things. Help us to see what really counts. Help us to see where profit can really be made. Oh Lord, we remember the words of Christ. What profit shall it be to a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? May we not be like Esau. Help us to be like Jacob. Help us to come to know thee. And, oh Lord, that even tonight we may rejoice in thy grace and mercy towards us and thy blessing. We ask these things through our Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn, number 383. God made me for himself to serve him here. 383.